This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I run an accountancy business in Oxford called Cypher, and I am joined, as ever, by the amazing Alan Clark from Exponential Coaching, back from Scotland, smashing life. How is it, Alan? Are you good?
I am good. I even set a new record without speeding from driving back down from Glasgow. I did it in 5.5 hours. And honestly, wow, it was all within the speed limit. And it was wonderful. For the first time in about 7 years of driving down, there was no roadworks around Manchester. So it was bliss, Matt.
Were you like 3 in the morning or something?
No, this is it. It was rush hour. Rush hour. I don't quite know what was going on. I don't know if I went into a parallel universe and came back out again just after Birmingham. But I arrived home relaxed and ready to go. So no, I'm in a good place.
That's the dream. I've not told you this actually, but next time you're up in Glasgow, you can pop in on our new member of the team. The new member of the Cypher team is a Glasgow local. Oh, so she's up there. She's working fully remotely, and yeah, how small a world it is, eh? There we go. So anyway, that's enough. That's not what people are listening in for, right? Is us kind of talking about our days. So what are we talking about today, my friend?
So I thought we could talk about purpose. Now, to give you a bit of context, I was saying just before our call, I've picked up the latest edition of the Harvard Business Review, and it probably mentions purpose about a million times. And there's lots of articles, which I must admit are great and really, really interesting. My view on purpose, I'm a huge fan of purpose. I think it can be used extremely positively to strengthen and grow a business. I think it's one of these words that goes in fashion and comes out of fashion. When it's in fashion,
to me, like, it's a very much a business kind of buzzword.
Yeah.
You know, blue sky thinking, find your purpose, yep, visionary leadership, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's my initial thought. So you're going to do well to finish this podcast and have convinced me that purpose is as important as it obviously is to you. So you keep going. I don't want to put you off. You keep going.
I'm now under pressure. But, you know, it is. In this article, I say there's lots of very, very educated people talking about the power of purpose and purpose, etc., and strategies and all sorts going on. But I thought we could just get into a conversation about purpose and how businesses can use purpose to strengthen and grow their business and also impact positively on the culture within companies and businesses and organizations. So that's what I'd like to get into today.
That's the conversation. Okay. Well, do you have, and I expect you do you have a definition for us here? Because there's an obvious definition of the word purpose, but what does it mean to a business owner? Why should they care? Let's start there.
I think that's a great question. And because straight away you can get into vision and purpose and values and mission, and they all mean something slightly different. But for me, purpose is something at the level of spirit, right? Runs really, really deep. And it is as simple as why you are in existence. So why is your business in existence? What do you really want it to do at the absolute deepest level of spirit? And I'm not talking about make tons of money. I'm really not talking about that. What I am talking about is how, because it now exists, what is its purpose in its business life?
Okay, so we're talking about the kind of, I've heard it described by many a business coach as the afters. So what do you leave your customers with, or do you leave them feeling? Does that make sense? And what's the result of, I don't know, you go to Homebase and you buy a drill. Why are you buying it? You're not buying it because you want a drill. You're buying it because there's a hole you need to put in the wall at home in order that you can put a screw in and hang a picture or whatever. It's the means to the end, right? Literally, it's a tool. And there's a lot of businesses that are that means to an end. So I've got a will writer client that says he doesn't sell wills. He sells peace of mind. He sells that absolute cast iron. When you pass away, your loved ones pass away, you know that their wishes are going to be granted and that their assets are going to be end up where they need to be. And that's what he sells. He sells peace of mind, but he just happens to sell wills in order to deliver that peace of mind. Is that what we're talking about?
I think so. And, you know, and that's why I'm saying I think so, because it is quite subjective, actually. And that's probably why half that magazine's given over to it. For me, it transcends products and services. And I don't want to disappear up my own backside by saying that. But the point of purpose and why it has such a powerful impact on the world is it is deep and it is an existential reason of being. And when really harnessed by a business, can be extremely powerful, extremely powerful. It can cut through all sorts of discussions internally and just make a huge positive difference. And your example of your will writer is a good one. Now, let me put you on the spot. So your business, Cypher, what would you say your purpose is?
Wow. Okay. It's funny enough because we've had a big team meeting this morning where we were talking about things like this. Without giving you a non-answer, certainly we deliver certain products and services, right? We deliver accounts and tax advice, right? And numbers to help business owners make decisions. But actually, I think my purpose is to fundamentally lower the level of stress that my clients have. All of my clients are owner-managed businesses, right? So if people running a business, they've got, whether it's a cash flow issue, a sales issue, a staff issue, what do I do in 5 years' time issue, I'm brand new and I don't know anything issue, they all come to me because there's something that's stressing them out and worrying them. And through the products and services we deliver, my purpose is to make all my clients comfortable and happy and stress-free in their business lives. Does that answer your question? And when I say it, I feel like that sounds really twee, but that's what we get out of bed for. We have some clients who've got real difficulties. I've got one at the moment who's messaged me 3 times today to say he's just lost a customer and he needs to shed some overheads and he's never been in this position and it's stress, stress, stress. And I'm going to jump on a call with him and help him see through all the noise and it'll be fine, because I know it'll be fine. His business is really strong. That's my purpose, is to prevent my clients spending 2, 3, 4 sleepless nights worrying about something.
So what I would say about that is that's a fabulous purpose. And of course, then underneath that, you have products and services. And, yeah, you know, this sort of purpose linked to strategy, it'd be our products and services actually fulfilling that purpose. And if some of them aren't, then that's where purpose-led strategy and purpose-led thinking is getting into. If that is the genuine purpose of Cypher, then everything in the business could be about creating that. And then if there are things in the business it's not, then that's where you get all over it and make a decision about what you want to do about it.
Okay. Does your purpose have to be outward looking, as in to your customers? Can you have an internal purpose? Our internal purpose is to create this amazing environment for our team to work in, for example. Is that strong enough on its own to be a business's purpose?
I honestly think anything goes, Matt. You know, that's a noble purpose. You're asking me that. I would always advise certainly to have some sort of external purpose as well. You could have both, or you could have an overarching one about what you said about to reduce stress. That could be for your clients and your colleagues. You know, that could be a multifaceted purpose. But I think a business that solely looks internally will eventually struggle externally if it's okay solely looking internally.
So I suspect if you ask a lot of owner-managed businesses what their purpose was, they would either tell you, they would give you not an incorrect answer, but the different answer. They would talk to you about their kind of vision or their kind of strategy. Or I think a lot of small business owners feel like a purpose should be this big grand thing. Like, we want to be the best accountancy business in the country. That's our purpose, to deliver this to a million people. And actually, the majority of businesses are not going to have a purpose that is life-changing for very many people. It might be life-changing to the business owner and some of their customers, but the reality is it's not a big thing in the global context compared with Microsoft's purpose, for example. That doesn't mean it's any less valid, but it's harder to articulate, I think. I think the issue and why a lot of small businesses don't connect with their purpose is because it's hard to articulate for, you know, let's say a florist, you know, a one shop bricks and mortar florist. It's difficult for them, I suspect. They may find it difficult to express their purpose.
But if that florist in one location had a purpose to provide the very best experience in cut flowers in that locale, and for me, that's a very noble purpose, and what that can do is allow that florist to question absolutely everything that's doing, including the training of colleagues internally, customer care, horticulture, presentation, so that everything's pulling together to fulfill that purpose, which is to create the very best floral experience in Southampton, for example. So, you know, this is where purpose, and this is why I really wanted this conversation, because I think I'm pretty well read. And the way some of this was reading in this magazine, I'm just starting to think, how is that even useful when you've got Professor Thingamajig talking about multi-level strategies around purpose? I think if we just get it right down to what it is, for me, it's the reason of our existence. What is the purpose of us being here? And in many ways, by keeping it simple, actually really allows you to punch hard with it. Everyone gets it. And the more we connect with that purpose, we'll make bigger and better decisions, or certainly more optimal decisions about how we actually deliver that purpose. And if we can deliver that purpose, and it is a noble purpose, surely that business is going to do well.
So do you think a purpose should be front and center of the marketing of a business?
Yes. Okay. Now, I'm not a marketeer. Okay, I'm not. Actually, one of the articles I read in this magazine today was, don't just leave purpose to the marketing department. So,
well, certainly shouldn't be a marketing only thing. I think that would be, you know, you can have the marketing team selling this dream and everyone else is living a nightmare, right? But I do think if you've got your purpose dialed and you live and breathe it and it is integral to how you do things, it must be front and center of your marketing, how you interact with prospects, how you sell to them, how you look after them and onboard them. You can't be the best florist in Southampton if your shop's closed 4 days a week and when they come in, there's some surly old man on the till that won't talk to anybody, right?
Absolutely.
It's not happening.
No, it's not.
Okay. And I just, we did a podcast, sorry, we did a podcast last year on basically drilled down as to what is it you do and why is it you do it? And that brings you to, if you answer those two questions, you're well on your way to finding the purpose of your business, right? Is there another way that our listeners can, tools to use or ways to think to find their purpose? They all have one. Every business starts with some idea and some purpose, but whether it's articulated and written down and lived by, I think is a completely different kind of can of worms. But if a client came to you and said, Alan, I'm not sure we have any, you know, the purpose is, we've lost our purpose to some extent. Business has changed. We're doing something different now. Whatever the story is, how can we reconnect with our purpose? What would be your answer there?
I think that's brilliant. You know, one of my favorite words is clarity. So, you know, clarity of purpose, I think, is an extremely powerful thing. You know, if you said to me, look, Alan, I'm actually got so busy over the last 6 months. We've got up to so many things going on. I'm starting to lose a bit of focus or a bit of clarity on what my purpose is. Then I think you're into a clearing conversation. You're into a conversation and asking questions of yourself, or for me, asking you about, okay, at your heart of hearts, what do you really want your company to do? You know, what do you feel is truly the purpose of Cypher? You know, these questions, and they're quite simple questions, would just give you that space to reconnect. Now, I even when I say that, I can feel my heart, honestly. And I there is definitely a link between purpose and heart. There is, right? And I can't explain exactly what there is, but it is that deep. So, you know, but if you slow down enough, just for 30 minutes, half an hour, and ask yourself these sort of basic questions, you would reconnect with your purpose. Or maybe you would evolve your purpose. Maybe you're giving yourself space to go, well, actually, this was what the purpose was 3 years ago when we started Cypher. Actually, I think it's more this now. Let's have a conversation.
That's interesting. Whether your purpose moves from day one to day three to, or year three to year five, I think is possible. I think, again, your purpose may well, the end result of your purpose will stay the same, but your mission or your strategy changes, and they're all intermingled, aren't they, these three terms. I've just Googled what's the purpose of Google and what's the purpose of Tesco, just mm-hmm. because I thought that'd be interesting to see how the big boys are doing this. And do you know what if you Google what's the purpose of Google, after the first one, which is the literal answer, it's a tool to search using text to find information. Google's main purpose of Google, its mission, is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. That's the purpose of Google. And you read that out and you know what? That's exactly it, right?
Can I dive in there? I would have to say I would have to say that they are doing a very good job on that. You know, and I'm just in my mind, there's hundreds of thousands of extremely bright people in the tech sector all over the world working for Google, bringing their creative genius to make sure that that's exactly what's going on. But as a user experience, you know, I've got to say, I think they're absolutely nailing that purpose at the moment, for sure.
And do you know what I think is quite interesting is I remember, I'm old enough to remember the first time I saw Google's website. My uncle said, we're going to search something and let's use this Google thing. And I remember looking at it thinking, that's the most boring, plain website I've ever seen, because it was just the Google like logo and then a search bar. Because before Google turned up and with their mission to, what was it exactly again? Organize the world's information.
Organize the world's information.
Yeah. Then every search bar you were interacting with was a section of another website. It was MSN, which had Messenger and Hotmail and all of their stuff. Or it was Yahoo, which had all the Yahoo news and sports and stuff. There was no one then at that point that had taken all that noise away and just said, actually, when people are searching, they're not interested in the very act of searching means they're not interested in what else is on the page. They're coming to us with a question. How do I bake a cake? They're not interested in what the England Australia cricket score is, which was, you know, scrolling at the top of Yahoo or whatever.
Yeah.
And so their purpose to organize the world's information became their main market differentiator, and obviously Google got it right, became market leader, took over the world, etc., etc. But their purpose on day one, that hasn't changed from day one. That was their purpose, to organize information, and they did it and that was it. They stuck to it. They didn't do anything else at that point, and they took over the world doing it. So that's Google's purpose, right? That makes sense. Tesco's purpose is a little bit more wishy-washy, if I'm honest. So Tesco's purpose is our core purpose, suggests they have more than one purpose, which I'm not sure a business should have. But anyway, serving our customers, communities and planet a little better every day.
No. And that's a brilliant two examples, because one has got clarity, one doesn't. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we're jumping up and down saying, Google, you've got that right. And I've never worked for Google. I don't even know a Googler, But I can imagine that that purpose is on pretty much every email and every comms that comes through that business every week, you know, because they have got that so spot on. And I just imagine everyone working together for that common purpose and how that must be really awesome. Tesco, that one, I mean, they do supermarkets tremendously well. Every penny counts, et cetera, et cetera. Of course they are. But that is not a clear purpose. So they are absolutely missing a trick in terms of aligning the organization behind that.
I think what it appears to me to be is that Google's purpose has been written by the founders, the people that were actually in there at the ground floor on day one and understood what the product was going to be, right? Google's purpose looks like it was written by the founders. Tesco's purpose reads like it was written by a marketing agency that Tesco's have parachuted into. We need a purpose. Can you put a purpose on our website? Yeah. And if you asked your average Tesco store manager, mm-hmm. and actually the husband, or not quite the husband, I'm marrying him off early, the boyfriend of one of my team is a Tesco store manager. I'm going to message him after this and find out. I suspect he has no clue what Tesco's purpose is as it's written on their website. Now, isn't Tesco's has a marketing slogan, doesn't it? I'm right in thinking Tesco's is every little help.
Every little help, yep. It's trademarked as well, though.
It's trademarked, right? So make sure we don't get sued. Tesco's, that's what, if you ask people what Tesco's core purpose is, you ask Joe Public, they wouldn't come out with that nonsense that is on that website. They would be talking about a value for money, customer focused supermarket.
Yeah.
I suspect.
Yeah.
And whereas if you ask people what the purpose of Google is, they would come out with something much closer to what the actual purpose is. Because, again, it's much more aligned to what they're actually doing rather than just... So I guess the moral of my story is, if you're going to come up with your purpose, come up with it yourself as a business owner. Don't outsource it, because it needs to be something you're connecting with at your level and not just words on a page that a marketing agency, you know, you could pay 15 grand for a purpose. I'm not convinced you're going to get that money back out of your market. Digital marketers may be now shouting at me and switching off in rage, but I don't, that's where I am on this.
No, I honestly thank you once again for using these two examples, you know, because for me, I genuinely believe, and hopefully you're coming around to this, that a clearly defined purpose can be extremely valuable in terms of strengthening and growing a business, because it can really, you can galvanize the culture behind it, you can align the business behind it, operations, people, sales, HR, finance behind it. You can question your products and services. Are they actually doing what your purpose is? So, you know, it can be such a powerful thing. And look, that one of the biggest companies in the world, Google, I think have done that extremely well. So there's a lesson for all of us. You know, I wonder, actually, one of your, certainly you're a huge admirer of this company. The company is Amazon. You know, you've right. used it. I wonder what their purpose is. I suspect
I've got it here in front of me.
But it's clear.
I've got it. I was just looking at various others. I don't want to make the whole podcast about different companies' purposes. Amazon's, I've got to say it, feel like it was written by an agency. So Amazon's mission statement: to be Earth's most customer-centric company, where customers can find and discover anything they want to buy online, and endeavours to offer its customers the lowest possible prices.
It's still a bit wordy, isn't it? It's a bit wordy. I think that's clearer than Tesco's.
A little bit. What was Jeff Bezos' first Amazon mission statement? I bet it wasn't that. Here you go, look. This is Google at its best. Jeff Bezos' initial vision when he set up Amazon in 1994 was to be an online version of an everything store. So, you know, those little stores that every high street had back in the day, that literally the one in the village that I grew up in was literally called Everything. That was the name of the shop. That's what he wanted to create online, an online version of the everything store. That, and it's still his purpose today. You can buy everything, right? Why have they spent all that money and changed into that wordy nonsense? the original purpose
I agree.
Is more solid, right? Anyway,
Amazon, the next time they make a big decision like that, they need to consult with you and I, Matt, and we would give them some advice.
We're saying that we should throw our hat in the ring to become purpose agents. We can create a purpose for your business. It's 25 grand plus per hour for Amazon. Job's a good one. Final one, and we will come away from this. Tesla's purpose is a really interesting one. So what does Tesla do, Alan?
They design electric vehicles.
They do. I got a bit of stick the other day for always mentioning Tesla on the podcast, but Tesla's purpose doesn't mention cars in the slightest.
Is it sustainability or something?
It is to accelerate the world's adoption of sustainable energy.
Yeah.
And that's bang on, right? That's a brilliant purpose. They happen to do that by electric cars, but they're also going to do it by electric trucks. And then they do it by electric car charging and solar panels and everything they do. Whilst, yeah, they sell some cars and they're good at it, that is not the purpose of Tesla. And in 10 years, 15 years' time, they may not be selling cars. They may be doing something completely different and still be on their core purpose. And I think that's interesting, right?
That's really interesting, actually. I find that context and thinking extremely valuable. You know, that is the purpose of the business. For now, they're doing this, but they could evolve into doing that. That for me is a purpose-led organization. How many times do you hear that bandied about? But for me, that's what that is. You know, they've got real clarity of purpose, and for now they're doing this, but in 5 years they could be doing that. I guess there's other ones, maybe like Uber Eats, you know, all these guys as well. They're all sort of playing about with different reasons of existence in the world, and I suspect they are constantly adapting their company and the structure within that company to deliver that purpose.
So I've just got Uber's. It's their mission statement, not their purpose, but it's to make transportation simple. Whether that's food, whether that's people, you can see that working. It could be funds. You could see Uber banking, right, where they're making it easy to transfer. Who knows?
Why? They can push them forever. Why do you think they want to make transportation simple?
Why do I think they want to? I've never thought about that, if I'm honest. I'm not sure. Uber's one of those companies I'm not sure how I feel about, because I've seen it from both sides. We've acted for Uber drivers, and we've also acted for private hire companies that have been battered by Uber coming in and tipping the market on its head. So,
but they must I think at some sort of level, they must feel there is a market for transport made simple.
Well, there is. I mean, I think if you look at if you take London as an example, what you've got is lots of people that want to move around the city via taxi, and no centralized way of, like, the way, go back before pre-Uber, the way of getting a black cab hadn't changed from when they were horses and cars, right? You stand in the road, put your hand out and wait for one to come past. And in a world where you can, you know, we've had a podcast on how the world is now moved on to instant delivery, and whatever it is you can get, there's an app for it and you can get it and have it delivered within 20 minutes. To not be able to do that with these black cabs seems crazy. Now, why, I think what would be an interesting conversation is, why did Uber go to independence with their own cars and not go around, like Just Eat have done, for example, go around all the established. So Just Eat have gone around all the established takeaways and got them to sign up to their platform and then take a commission on the delivery sales. Why didn't Uber go around all of the local cities, local black cab firms, or whatever the equivalent is there, and get all of those drivers on? Because they didn't, did they? They ignored all of those guys. They took them as the competition rather than the customer. And then brought another new people. And I don't know the answer to that story. And I wonder if it's to their purpose. I'm going to go and look it up now because I think it's quite interesting. But in terms of, yeah, they obviously, there was a gap in the market, but the way they went with it is possibly comes back to whatever their purpose is, to make it simple. Maybe it was too difficult to work with all those individual black cab companies. Who knows? It's an interesting thing to consider, right?
It really is. But look, we're at 30. We are outrageously at 31 minutes already. It's just incredible.
That's good, because I feel like I've meandered for 5 minutes off point about Uber there. So let's reconnect then. So what have we been talking about, Alan, and where have we got to? Sum us up.
We've been talking about purpose and using purpose and what purpose is. We didn't quite get into a distinction between what purpose is and vision is, but there's a difference. And I think what we said here is purpose is definitely in the domain of existentialism. It's what, why one is here and what one wants to do with one's business, and getting really, really clear on that. And I was gently making an argument that the clearer we are on that, the more powerful I suspect that that organization becomes, or certainly the more it will align itself across that company or organization behind that purpose, which must be good for strengthening and growing that business. We also said that, I think you're going to probably hear the word purpose quite a lot. It's getting bandied about. It's one of these fashionable phrases or words in business. But hopefully what we've done today is made it a bit real, and how any business can actually use purpose to strengthen and grow.
Brilliant. Okay. And I think for me, whatever size business you are, you can be a business with purpose, right? You can connect with why it is that we're in business, what we're trying to achieve, why we're doing it, what the way we want to interact with the world. And don't, just because you're a one-man band or, you know, 10 employee business and you're not competing with Google, doesn't mean you can't have a purpose that is effective. And I think the best purposes, as we sort of spent some time discussing at the end, best purpose are the ones that are from the heart and from the founders and the owners, not the agencies that have been paid to come in and do it. Okay. Well, I enjoyed that, Alan. I always enjoy our podcast, but ones that go past the 30-odd minutes without me noticing are the ones that we've obviously enjoyed. So I think we need to wrap up now. All that's left to say, I've got told by a leading podcast industry expert to not tell people to like and review our podcast because it doesn't really make much difference. So if you're liking what you're listening to, dear listener, then what would be really helpful for us is if you gave us a shout out on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. We're on all of them. If you like what you're hearing, if you give us a nudge on that and a shout out, that really helps the reach. And that's apparently much, much more effective than what we've been telling you for the last 47 episodes, which is to like and subscribe. So there we go. You learn, every day's a school day, isn't it? We will be back next week with more podcast gold. But for now, that's all from me and that's all from my friend Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.